It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It's podcast time again on the Football Sack. I'm Jack Quigley, and with me is Christian Leyland.
How are we all?
And Pat Flaherty.
How are you going?
And we're going to give you a bite-sized piece of coverage to fit in your halftime break and maybe just a little bit over. But it's okay, because you can still watch TV while you listen to the podcast, can't you? And we'll talk about some other stuff as well. So let's just jump straight into it, shall we? Where should we start? Let's start with, let's run through last night's games. Well, do we want to do last night's games or do we want to do the night before's games, chronological?
I reckon we should do last night's games so we're lulling people into a false sense of relevance and then we can talk into go back to the old games.
Nobody listens to this show because it's relevant, but we'll do that anyway. We had last night Switzerland got off to a winning start, came from behind, a thrilling finish to beat Ecuador 2-1. It was a fantastic finish. Ecuador had a chance to win the game right at the end. Vallon Berami was fouled but opted to keep playing. Fantastic advantage play by the referee, wasn't it, for that goal.
I wonder what he would have done in the third minute if it happened in the third minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, that's exactly the point. But
I think credit has to go to both people involved in there. You've got the referee and the player. The player literally somersaulted on the ground.
He got hammered.
Getting up. He just kept sprinting because there was space in front of him. I suspect that if it wasn't the third minute, if you've got two defenders between you and the goal and a whole team with you, you're probably still going to go up no matter what the minute is.
Yes.
But obviously it was in his mind to attack because there wasn't much time left, and the referee played advantage. So we're very easy to criticise when they do things wrong, which they have been. So we're very easy, to, well, not easy, but we're happy to give credit when they do the right
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it was a fantastic piece of officiating, which was great. So Switzerland 2-1, France 3, Honduras 0.
It was really good because the referee called a goal almost instantly, and that was the goal line technology, and shows how quick it was and how well it works here. The thing was, I think the commentators and the opposition coach were quite confused because there was two incidences. One where it hit the post and the ball went a little bit over the line, but not completely, and it said no goal. And so the commentator was a bit confused as to why is it being called a goal, forgetting about the whole second part of the goal line technology, which showed the ball was completely over the line.
Yes.
But I think it put a lot of people at ease in terms of this technology's works and is fast, and the whole myth of, well, what if they attack the other end and another goal score by the time the decision comes through? Well, that's just...
We all know. You say the referee gave it almost instantly. Is that the watch beeping thing? Is that what would have gone off for him?
Correct. So, yes, obviously all the cameras and such work, you know how it works. Cameras work, the ball goes over the line, the cameras...
I don't know how it works, that's why I'm asking you.
So, many cameras, there might be 12, that is a number I've just guessed.
I think it's 7 I read this morning.
7.
On each goal.
Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, almost 12 in total, so I'll claim that.
if by almost you mean... And carry on, yeah. Yes.
It's the football podcast, not the math podcast.
Yeah, that's right, although that's probably more popular than the other one because the marathon podcast is ahead of us on iTunes, apparently.
That is a stitch up, isn't
it? That is a stitch up.
In saying that, 3 episodes in, number 12 on the podcast chart. It's not terrible.
We're doing okay. We're doing okay.
Not today.
No. Well, tell your friends.
Tell your friends it's
we
great.
We were 12.
If we're below the marathon podcast at the end of the World Cup... That's a stitch. Anyway, why don't they just use Predictaroo?
The truth is, all the cameras go straight to a room where Predictaroo is in. He goes, yes.
Yes, Bindi Irwin puts down two bowls. One says goal, and the other says no goal. And then she makes a big song and dance about it eating. And then we have our answer.
Correct. And then what you didn't realise, that when that was awarded goal, she actually looked to the camera in selfie mode and said, great game, no goal. You did really well.
That's right. I'm sure you'll do fine.
I can't wait for the rest of the great goals play.
Yeah, that's right. She's tipped Portugal to beat Germany tonight, but then also said, I can't wait for these games after only predicting one game. So I don't think she gets the concept of football entirely. So France 3, Honduras 0, Karim Benzema with the other two goals. It was also his volley that led to the own goal. How good is own goal going in this tournament?
It's got to be leading... scorer.
I think it is, isn't it? Leading the goal scoring charts.
Golden boot.
Has a golden boot ever been won by own goal?
I'm not sure. I'd like that. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? How would you award it?
Yes, that's right. What you'd do is you'd put all the own goals in a bowl of food at Australia Zoo, and then Predictaroo would come and choose who wins it. Argentina 2, Bosnia 1 was another result from overnight. Messi... a lot of pressure on him, and in the first half he sort of played like there was a lot of pressure on him to deliver, but the second half we saw a glimpse of what he can do. Fantastic goal.
And what I loved there was that at halftime, Jason Kalina, the expert commentary in the SVS rooms, came up and he just looked at the camera and said, "Now, I don't want to tell Messi how to play before proceeding to tell Messi how to play."
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. That's like when someone starts a sentence with "no offense, but."
Or when Scott Chipperfield starts a sentence with "I'm not racist, but."
Yes, exactly. "I'm not racist, but" is a great way to shut a room up when you're there's a lot of noise.
What I did like, though, was that Jason Kalina's, or depending on which pronunciation guide you look to, whether it's the Gold Coast or the Newcastle Jets pronunciation guide, it could be Jason Chalina. Mm. He basically said, "I think Messi's running the ball too much and not passing enough," which was great, because if he had a pass when he had the chance in that goal, it would have been a goal.
That's right. On the subject of analysis from pundits, a little bit of analysis from John Aloisi. He gave his thoughts on the Socceroos' performance the other night, and he did a report card. He gave Matt Ryan a grade of C. For his efforts. Mm. He gave... I should start this by saying that the initial paragraph of the story talks about how John Aloisi's blamed our failings up front and not having enough quality in the final third of the pitch for the reason that we didn't get something out of that game. He then proceeds to give a grade of C to Matt Ryan, the goalkeeper, a grade of B, I think, to the defence and midfield, and a grade of B+ to the attack. So the reason that we lost was due to our attackers, who he also claimed were our best on the pitch. And they wonder why Melbourne Heart was struggling.
I think my favourite John Aloisi moment, which eclipses the Uruguay penalty, was when... Mike Mulvey's interview when they just beat Hart 3-0 and is disgusted with Brisbane's performance. And John obviously comes to the camera with a massive smile and says, "What a great performance by Melbourne Heart."
Yeah.
"Mate, you lost 3-0.
Yes.
Completely outplayed.
But that was his thing. They were the worst, which meant they were the best. He went straight in the dressing room to his back four and said, "You guys were the reason we lost today, but suit up because you're first on the team sheet next week. I thought you were our best today." So... fantastic Johnny. Stuff from Johnny Aloisi. I think Johnny has jumped into punditry too soon. For me.
Sort of like how he jumped into coaching too soon.
Maybe, yeah. Anyway, poor Johnny. The night before's matches were Costa Rica 3, Uruguay 1, a massive upset.
Yes.
The greatest game.
It was
Costa
a good
Rica.
Game to watch.
I watched the replay. I didn't see it live, so that's fantastic. And that group's wide open now. What a game coming up. England and Uruguay. Must win for both teams.
Yeah, well... pretty close to must win anyway, and they need to get a point out of it, and then they're still relying on other results. But it's going to be crazy because, I mean, you know, who would have thought that those two matches would have been between two losers?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm. Not saying England are going to be favourites, but Uruguay were heavy favourites, and England would have had a chance against Italy. And
that's
so
right.
Coming through and going, well, one of these teams probably does need to win to really have a good shot at going through, and so I think it's going to be a cracker.
How good is this World Cup?
Yeah, it's all the minnows. The minnows are... causing a lot of upsets.
It's goals, it's excitement. I'm loving every second of it.
And it hasn't been a draw yet.
That's right, yeah. It's got to be some sort of record. You threw a stat out before as well in terms of golf. Normally at big tournaments, if you score first, statistically, you're like a 75% chance of winning the game or not losing the game anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the moment, we've got we've had 11 matches. Five of those, the team who scored first has lost.
Yeah.
That's almost 50%,
yeah.
Which is mental.
Yeah, amazing.
So we've got Croatia, Spain, Japan, Uruguay, and Ecuador all scored first and then proceeded to go ahead and lose.
Yeah, which is huge. Fantastic. Speaking of Japan, that was another cracking game. A lot of people sort of had that down for... well, we said it was going to be a great game, but the reaction on Twitter was sort of like, well, Japan, Ivory Coast, but a fantastic game, I thought. It was the first half was thrilling, and then that second half when Japan was starting to hang on and then Didier Drogba came on and just scared the Japanese shitless. It was like Godzilla came on the pitch and they were all just running and screaming. Two goals in 3 minutes.
It was sort of like Chuck Norris, because Drogba didn't exactly come on and score the goals. He just came on the pitch and his presence scared the Japanese into doing nothing.
Yeah, they kicked both in the net themselves. So Ivory Coast,
which is strange because you know they're probably the only two goals which weren't own goals in the whole tournament.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was nice to give own goal a break. He was risking doing an injury, like the England physio, which we should also mention before moving on. Fantastic.
That poor bloke.
When he went down, I feared the worst. Like you get these thoughts of Mark Vivian Foe and some of these things that go through your head because there was just a sea of people around him.
I thought Hodgson was going down. I went, oh no, he's had a heart attack.
Under the stress, yeah, that's right. But it was Gary Lewin, the physio, has stepped on a water bottle during the celebrations.
Because you actually had both benches or both sort of assisting, teams assisting. Yeah. You're like, crap, but what it is, it's the fact that because there's no physio there, it was just everyone giving their own opinions, going, no, give him space, sit him down, lie him down, on his foot, on his back, yes. On his back.
Put him in the recovery position. Elevate his legs. Yes, exactly. So at least he'll be treating himself, which is good. So which moment was funnier for you, that or Wayne Rooney's corner kick?
Nah. The corner kick.
Yeah, the corner kick.
That is the funniest moment so far of the tournament.
Yeah, for me. I think that's fantastic. He's managed to push Leighton Baines off the ball and ask, nah, Baines, you let me take one. I want to have a go.
I just want to know what the hell he was attempting. It doesn't make sense.
That's the thing, because he had to be trying something. Surely someone who's on 300 grand or 3,000 pounds... 300,000 pounds a week. His wage just keeps going up the more I talk. I should keep talking. You can't just miss a ball when you step up to kick it, a stationary ball.
He didn't even hit the flag.
Yes, that's right. And finally, wrapping up the night before's games, Colombia 3, Greece 0.
I'll just go back to the England-Italy match just for a quick second.
You can do that if you want.
I know we're loving the pundits and their expert commentary at the moment, but Ned Zelic is throughout my favourite at the end of the game. Sorry, at halftime. Came up with Balotelli. He said they need to change things up because at the moment Mario Balotelli is quite isolated, though he is being quite well supported by his wingers.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's almost as if he doesn't know what isolated means.
Again, to be honest, that is the oral equivalent of Wayne Rooney's corner.
Yeah, that's right. It's just a massive contradiction. He's isolated, although the good thing is he's not isolated, so hopefully he can get something out of it. On the topic of punditry, we discussed the SBS social hub the other day. Hannah Hollis, who hosts the SBS social hub, we took the piss out of Tony Abbott for saying the wrong name during his Socceroos address. Hannah Hollis chimed in on Twitter saying that, I think her tweet said, "Oh, cringe, how's this for a good luck message from Prime Minister Tony Abbott for saying Socceroos captain Mike?" So, yeah, totally agree with you.
But the only thing is, that's fair enough, because if you're going to say something like that, obviously, she works in football, she's going to be fine, she would know more than anyone how to say names. So, if anyone's going to be able to criticise him, it would be someone who works in football.
Absolutely. So let's see what she had to say last night when covering the social media.
And some late news from Rio driller, Socceroo Mark Franjic posted this on Instagram. "Shattered to get the bad news that ends my World Cup, but I would not change anything for the world."
Mark Franjic. I'll tell you what, big loss for the Socceroos there.
Mate, because now we've got Mark Franjic, Ivan Franjic, both out.
Yeah.
That's, out. You know what? Just go home.
That's to be honest, the Franjic family must be really, because if Ivan's injury wasn't bad enough to hear now that Mike's gone down, how's your luck? And both hamstrings. Now, Christian, we won't mention on air the words that I used when I first heard this, but it was the edited down version was, how hard is it? Come on, people.
Look, I could almost excuse it.
I can't.
No, not can I.
She works at SBS. She hears the name every day.
So
SBS is one of their big rigmaroles is that we have to pronounce everything correctly.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
Everything needs to be ethnicised or culturally correct. And
Les
correct.
Murray on Toyota World Sport used to ethnicise names that weren't even ethnic.
Yeah. To be fair though, she did pronounce Mark correctly. So
was flawless. Yeah, to be honest. So.
Her friend, well, yeah. Not quite so much, but maybe it was just really cold. Maybe it's really cold in Croatia at the moment, so that's how they're pronouncing it at the time.
Yes, yeah, possibly. It's summer in Croatia at the moment, by the way.
Again, football podcast, not geography podcast.
Well, that wouldn't be geography either. That would be a weather podcast. Yeah, meteorological.
That's seasonal.
But overall, it's rubbish. It's your job. Learn the names. It's not that hard. We don't work in... this isn't a broadcasting podcast, but we're getting Hannah Hollis's name correct. It's not a political podcast, yet we're getting Tony Abbott's name correct. So,
yes.
They're actually talking about football specifically.
Yeah.
So just get it right.
Yeah. So anyway, we will now refer to Ivan as Mark Franjic for the rest of the tournament, along with our captain Mike Jedinak and Brazilian defender Marcel Lol, which, of course,
he... There's been some shockers, hasn't there?
There has. We should take a moment to thank the sponsors that make this podcast happen and bring it free to you listeners. They include Banking on Football for all your football needs. Get a great deal on your banking and support your local club at the same time. Go to bankingonfootball.com. Fantastic supporters of ours. Southern Cross University for allowing us to record here in their studios. Thank you very much. Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane, which would have been going off for the Italy-England game, of course. And Elite Fitness Lismore. Get yourself in shape with Elite Fitness, fantastic trainers down there. So give Dean a call.
Absolutely. I think I might have to go down there myself soon because obviously Banking on Football and their kind staff brought us in some football sack.
Fruitcake.
Yeah, we worked that off. Footing.
At least 500 calories there.
Yeah, sweet. We got, it was like BBC Test Match Special that we got an official World Cup podcast fruitcake delivered.
And Christian
from
also
our
brought in some chocolate.
Christian bought chocolate. So if you'd like to send anything, I don't even know what address to send it to, so don't worry. And I'm not going to eat anything that's been in the post.
Email us at info@thefootballsack.com whether you either A, want to tell us something, or B, want to post us some food. And if we think you know, you're not too sus, we may give you an address to send something to.
Yeah, tweet us at the football sack just with a dick. You don't have to say anything, just a dish, and if it sounds good and sounds postable, yeah, we'll get in touch with someone you can
and
send
And also,
it.
If KFC CEO is listening,
yeah,
give us some free KFC.
We're taking
We will plug you.
Absolutely.
Well, technically, we just plugged you, so you actually owe us.
Yeah. You've been plugging my arteries for years. I'll plug you in return. And Sports Management Group, which helped us get some sponsors.
Yeah, so they helped us get all the above. So thank you very much. And if you're a local club organisation who needs some help, just Google SMV Australia and enjoy your help.
We have a special guest joining us right after you hear some drums and somebody saying, Brazil! Joining us on the line is former Socceroo captain Paul Wade. Thanks for your time, mate.
Mate, it's absolute joy to hear you lot.
Oh. Well, now you're our favourite guest ever. That was easy.
That's a term of endearment, you know that, the you lot thing.
Absolutely, mate. It's not you're not Scott Chipperfield. We won't get into that. Mate, let's start off by, obviously, our main thoughts in this tournament are with our boys. What were your thoughts on how we went the other morning?
Well, you know what? I said in the media leading up to it that we were going to get smashed. And I honestly thought, on paper, we would. Because I saw Chile against Germany, and they absolutely belted them. So I'm thinking, oh, boys, they've got, what, 30 caps between them in the back four? They are not going to get, they're not going to have a chance. Mate, I tell you what, after the first 20 minutes, I thought, oh, here we go, cricket score. But at the end of 90 minutes, I felt so proud that they continued that resilience, we work hard, you know, underdog type thing, because a lot of people were questioning that. So I stood up and I went, you know what, I have no problem with what I said about getting smashed, but they made us very, very proud at the end of 90 minutes.
Absolutely. How do you reckon we'll get on against Holland after that sort of performance?
Mate, we're going to get smashed.
Fantastic, mate.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, full stop. That's it. No, honestly. You know, because we've done well for, what, 70 minutes, 65 minutes, it's not solved all the problems. Because now there are new challenges. They're going to have different tactics. They will be studying us like you would not believe. Louis van Gaal, he's been there, done that. He'll know everything about us. So he'll set us new challenges. I'm not saying that we're going to get them right, but I tell you what, we won't concede two goals in the first 15 minutes, that's for sure.
Hey, Paul, what's been your highlights of the tournament so far?
Wow, how long have we got to do this interview? Mate, how good has it been? I haven't seen one game where I nearly fell asleep. And even at 2:05 in the morning, you tend to do that. But, well, it's been absolutely superb. You know what? Part of it, I think, is because so many teams now are pushing forward to pinch the ball at the attacking end that the opposition have got to play and got to play quick. It's sped this game up. I love the foam on the ground. What do you reckon? 10 metres away from the ball. Love that. Love the goal line technology as well. Still diving, though. I wish they could spray that stuff all over some of the players that dive and they could disappear as well. But apart from that, geez, that's a tough one. Really is. I mean, obviously, the one that stands out is the one with the most goals, and that was Holland versus Spain. But yeah, there's been so many great moments, honestly.
A discussion that we had off air on the pod before we started was, what's the best header ever? Was it Robert Van Persie's one the other morning, or was it Jared Borghetti for Mexico in 2002 against Italy, where he had his back to goal and flipped the header and almost sort of was able to put curve on a header? Which one of those two is your favourite, mate?
Mate, it was Paul Wade, Croydon City versus Preston, Macedonia, the Poms versus the Massos. There were 300 people there. It was a Tuesday night. It was a catch-up game. I've rifled it with my forehead in top right-hand corner. No, seriously, Van Persie. Do you remember the goal he scored for Man U? Was it goal of the season last season?
Against Aston Villa, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, the degree of difficulty for that header would be the same because it's coming over. It's not exactly coming towards him directly. So the timing of it, the fact that he had to get it over the goalkeeper, wow, that's why Man U bought him.
Yeah, I said to the guys before, that's how I judge how good a goal is how many times would you have to try it before you could do it again? And also, yeah. I've met at least 500 people who claim they were there that day you scored that header, mate.
Mate, Christian here. Quick question. Who do you think might end up winning this World Cup, and which team do you think will exceed the expectations the most?
Who's going to win the World Cup? You know what? This is our path if we're going to win it, and I think we will. We're going to end up second. In the next round, we'll play Brazil. If we beat them, we're going to either play, cop this, Italy, England, or Uruguay. Have we got a history with them three or what? Well, it doesn't matter who it is. We'll knock them off. We'll play Spain in the semi-final, or we'll beat Argentina in the final. So, in other words, it's going to be Brazil versus Argentina. Right now, a bit of an upset. Lionel Messi, he'll own it. He'll score the winner. He'll, I don't know, punch it in the back of the net with his hand. But I think Argentina will win it.
Fantastic. You're an absolute legend, Wadey. Thanks so much for your time.
There's only you and me that think so. Speak to you soon. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Paul Wade, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't mind a chat. Great, great value.
I enjoyed it.
Mate, how's that? Former soccer captain on the Football Show podcast.
Yeah, great. Well, that's one, and let's see how many we can get before the end of the tournament. It's a double guest show today. We've got former Big Brother housemate Michael Beveridge joining us just after this. Joining us now on the show is a bit of a special guest because he's not a former footballer. Well, he might be a former footballer. We're about to find out. It's a former Big Brother housemate and now star of Weekend Breakfast on the Today Network. It's Michael Beveridge. Thanks for joining us, mate.
I got called a star just then, so I'm pretty stoked about that, guys. Thank you very much for the nicest compliment I've ever gotten.
Sorry, I made
you'll be quickly retracting that, no doubt.
Mate, we'll start off by getting your background. People want to know why there is an imposter on the show pretending to be a football person. Why don't you give us a bit of background and tell us that you are a genuine football person from way back? You're not just a World Cup bandwagoner.
I had a bit of family connection to Newcastle United FC. My great uncle used to own about 5% of it back in the day. So my family are off from Newcastle, so we're all Geordies from way back. I played growing up in primary school in Central Queensland, but Ben Griffin, you might remember him. He was a starting defender with the Brisbane Roar when it was the Queensland Roar back in the day. And so I was a member of Queensland Roar when it first started up. So I've been following the A-League and especially the Brisbane Roar since day one. So I'm a massive fan. A couple of good seasons for us. So things are going very well.
Fantastic. What were your thoughts on the Socceroos? We just had former Socceroos captain Paul Wade on, and he said that he predicted us to get smashed, but he was really proud of how we went. What did you think?
Look, to be honest, I was just looking at... I mean, you've got Franich playing on, world-class attacking attackers, and I sit there and I just sit up and I go, mate, good on us for having a team worth absolutely diddly shit, and just playing with a bit of guts. First 15 minutes was obviously, on a stage like that, what do you do? But I always thought, if the backs put up the same amount of fight as Leckie and Bresh and Timmy Cahill, I think we would have genuinely won. I think we were just overawed on the big stage. But the boys did us proud. I mean, we could have just ate shit after the first 20 minutes. But to our credit, they say it's in our DNA. We fought back. And I, for one, was very proud of the boys.
Now, mate, it's Lails here. Now, I know you're saying, you know, the Socceroos are sort of up against some things. I think what really helped them out was, you know, they knew the whole country's behind them, especially with the Prime Minister giving a special message to the boys, including one of our captain, Mike.
I tell you what, I've been a big fan of Mike Jedinak for a long time now. He's been playing for Crystal Pantry for a good amount of time. Massive fan of what he's been able to do over there. What a dick. Don't he have it, though? He's a dickhead. What do you expect?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And then we had SBS's social hub host, Hannah Hollis, last night calling Ivan Franjic Mark Franjic. So it's contagious, whatever Tony Abbott's been handing out.
Well, you know, if shit is contracting around the place, then Tony Abbott's going to be the one giving it to people. Look, to be fair, I'll smash Abbott for everything. What was his advisors doing? Did nobody know that, you know, Mile Jedinak is a very popular football player?
That was what we sort of said. It wasn't live.
Yeah.
Like everyone's just looking at it going, yeah, Mike, that sounds good. We'll run with that. That sounds Australian.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody's looked at that and thought, yeah, good, nice. That's the best take we got, Tony. Well done.
There were actually 72, and that was the closest delay that he got. And they thought, you know what, fuck it. They'll pick up on it, and they'll detract from the fact that he's actually a shit leader. So we'll run with that.
Yeah, that's right. At least he's consistent in like the way he leads the country and the way he delivers speeches.
Oh, man, I tell you what, you know, I'm just looking forward to him congratulating you know, Charles Smith on the State of Origin win on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
We're very happy.
Yeah, no, he sent his congratulations to Jim Cahill for another great header as well as soon as he'd scored it, which was fantastic to see.
it's tough being the fan, I tell you, it's tough.
Obviously, yeah, you got to remember, you know, names and stuff that are written down in front of you.
Yeah, common knowledge, it's tough. It's tough, that common knowledge.
Brilliant. What's something that you like during the World Cup, mate? Are you World Cup fever? Do you stay up all night? Breakfast radio is probably a good time slot for you. Your body clock's already kind of close.
Oh, mate, it is so amazing, but it's actually pretty shit because we've got to be on air. It was quite funny when the Socceroos played. We do the National Breakfast Show on the weekend. So the game started at 8, and we're on air from 7 till 9 a.m. So we were the only, I guess, FM breakfast show on air during the whole thing, and we built it up. We thought, you know, I've built this amazing sound that when someone scores in the Socceroos, we're going to let it off. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be the best thing you ever heard. Then at about 8:10, we realised, shit, by the time Perth get this, the game's going to be finished 2 hours' time.
Oh,
we can't play it.
No.
We've got, Adelaide gone. They're calling us going, guys, the game's on. What are you talking about? And we're going, fuck, we've absolutely cooked this. So, you know, we had this amazing opportunity, and in classic commercial FM radio, we cooked it, so... There wasn't much we could do about it. It was tough trying to be on air and watch, you know, the game that you've been waiting 4 years for. Getting up and watching, you know, you wake up and you think, am I in a dream and I'm seeing the Netherlands beating Spain 4-1 at this moment? And then I look around and it's 5-1. It's just been amazing. It's delivered everything I've expected thus far. I can't wait for, you know, everyone just to calm down a bit. I think we saw a little bit of a flash from Messi, you know, performing... You know, the right sort of fluid football that we're looking forward to. I think Brazil were pretty shit in their first game, to be honest. I mean, I don't know if you agree or disagree. I just didn't think that they were playing, I guess, the Joga Bonita that we expect of them.
No, we did agree. Well, if it wasn't for the penalty, I don't think they'd win that game.
No, and I just think, you know, first round jitters, first game's out of the way. I'm looking forward to, you know, looking forward to every girlfriend in Australia basically being pissed off at their partner for a long time.
Yeah, I'm in that boat already, so you're probably the same.
Did you guys do the 2 month build-up of goodwill?
No, I didn't. What was that?
Oh, I tell you what, I've been flowers once every 4 days, random gifts here and there, purely for my own benefit, because I know that I'm going to be a shithead for the next, well, till July 13th.
Right, well, my girlfriend's been, she broke her ankle, and she's been in a cast for the 6 weeks leading up to the tournament, so I was sort of doing it without meaning to do it. I was doing all the laundry and all the dishes and everything.
Oh,
so
you're intrinsically a good person. I'm an asshole. That's
yeah, well, I would have been an asshole had I still refused to do the dishes and made the cripple do it, but yeah, I think I've earned some TV time.
I think by referring to her as a cripple, I think really your true colours have shown.
Yeah, I've just undone all that goodwill.
Well, it's the way we do it, mate.
Well, we might wrap it up, mate. Thanks very much for your time.
Not a problem, boys. Keep at it. I want more. I want to see an Australian NBA players who we think would make an excellent World Cup team comparison next time too. Or maybe hockey players that would be a good World Cup team, because God knows Fox Sport would have no fucking clue what they're talking about.
Well, for our listeners who haven't actually know what Michael's talking about, I love celebrities giving us plugs. So Michael, why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, well, I think it was a Super Footy?
Yes, yes, it was.
Super Footy did, World Cup fever. Let's talk about, you know, football or soccer for a second. Here's our AFL team who we think would, you know, play a brilliant World Cup game. And it was just absolutely fucking stupid. They had no idea. And, you know, the loosest thread of why they thought someone would be a good player, like, you know, oh, looks good in shorts. He would be great in soccer. And you guys have fired back fantastically with just a team made up of people who know how to use their hands, therefore they'd be good at AFL. Full well taking the piss out of the fact that neither of them would be good at any of the sport because it's completely different.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for the plug, mate. We appreciate it, and we hope that everyone listens to your radio show in turn.
I've got to be able to pick up more than one, and that's just me mother, mate. So that's about all we've got at the moment.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, guys.
Awesome, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Good on. See you later.
Well, thanks to Michael Beveridge for ensuring that this will be the first Football Sat World Cup podcast that requires iTunes to put the explicit thing next to it.
You have a lot of editing to do.
Yeah,
we might just leave that in.
But what a legend. How good were our two guests today?
Brilliant, mate. I mean, we've gone from a show at the start of the year where, you know, we were our own guests. You know, we were pretending to be professional. Now I've actually got former Socceroo captains. We've got one of the biggest radio stars in Australia, you know, coming on the show. So absolutely stoked with that. Yeah, great interviews. You know, it's a great. Well, both guests had great use of foul language, and I think that's a sign of maturity.
Absolutely. So it just goes to show: don't ever skip a podcast. You don't know who you're going to miss out on, and it could be a double guest podcast. Probably won't usually though. It usually just be one guest. We're going to take a break and come back tomorrow and talk to you about whatever's happening tonight. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow on the Football Sat Podcast.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.